Hello and welcome to episode 4 of What the Phonics. I am Kim, your host, and we are working together to build better readers. Today's episode is all about vocabulary. Now quick, when you hear vocabulary, what immediately comes to mind? Is it long lists of words that you look at on the bus on the way to school and brain dump it as soon as the test's over? Oh, that's just me? Oh, sorry. That's what I initially would think of when it came to vocabulary. But really, vocabulary is just, according to Webster, the body of words used in a particular language. But even more specifically, it can be a body of words used in an area, like biology, or by a person. Their vocabulary. It's the words that they are able to use. And obviously, your vocabulary is going to have a huge impact on your ability to read, but even more so, the comprehension level, which we are kind of working towards as we go through this big 5 of reading. So, we've got 2 types of vocabulary. You know, I like to give you a little bit of science at the beginning, and then we break it down into the useful, the part that we can do. It's all useful, but the action part that we will get to at the end. So we have receptive vocabulary. That is the vocabulary that you can understand when you hear it or read it. And we have the expressive vocabulary, which is the vocabulary that you can speak or write. Now your receptive vocabulary is going to be much larger. You're going to have a lot more words in your receptive vocabulary than you will in your expressive vocabulary. For example, I took Spanish many, many moons ago, but if I heard a couple words, I may be able to understand what they're saying or get the gist of it, where I am probably not going to be able to actually give you a word in Spanish or a phrase in Spanish just to speak or write it. Okay, so that's expressive and receptive. Now, we have tiers of vocabulary, especially when you're talking about teaching vocabulary to students. Tier 1 is your basic daily vocabulary. These are the things that parents, you are working on right now with no lists, with no memorization. That's just the daily language. Generally, for most students, it's learned through conversation. Oftentimes, these words do not have multiple meanings. For example, baby, car, boy, apple. It doesn't have to be that simple of a word. It could be a word like elephant because it's still part of the vocabulary. So a child, even a 2-year-old, knows what an elephant is and they can identify an elephant. They may not be able to spell elephant, but they do have that vocabulary, the ability to, they could see a picture of an elephant and they could expressively say that that's an elephant. Idioms also can be in there, off the top of your head, things like that. Are often tier 1. For example, I took Spanish many, many moons ago, but if I heard a couple words, I may be able to understand what they're saying or get the gist of it, where I am probably not going to be able to actually give you a word in Spanish or a phrase in Spanish just to speak or write it. Okay, so that's expressive and receptive. Now, we have tiers of vocabulary, especially when you're talking about teaching vocabulary to students. Tier 1 is your basic daily vocabulary. These are the things that parents, you are working on right now with no lists, with no memorization. That's just the daily language. Generally, for most students, it's learned through conversation. Oftentimes, these words do not have multiple meanings. For example, baby, car, boy, apple. It doesn't have to be that simple of a word. It could be a word like elephant because it's still part of the vocabulary. So a child, even a two-year-old knows what an elephant is and they can identify an elephant. They may not be able to spell elephant, but they do have that vocabulary, the ability to, they could see a picture of an elephant and they could expressively say that that's an elephant. Idioms also can be in there, off the top of your head, things like that, are often tier one. Vocabulary. It's raining cats. And dogs. Things like that. Tier two vocabulary is going to be your high frequency across content. And what I mean when I say that is there are words that as students get into school, they will see some of these words in reading. They'll also see it in science. They may also see it in social studies. So it's the academic vocabulary. They're not going to necessarily hear or see these words in their daily lives, but they are often in books, and that is why it's important for our babies to know them, for our students and our kids to know them. Things like fine and blush. Both of those are examples of multiple meaning words, which are definitely in that tier two, because fine could be something you have to pay. It also could mean I'm feeling fine. And there are other meanings with that word. Even blush, that could be the makeup that you use, or it also could be the verb, the action of blushing. So those have to be taught a little bit more intentionally, because there are multiple meanings and they can be a little bit trickier for kids. The ability to use the high frequency words or recognize both expressively and receptively these multiple meaning words is a skill of a more mature language user. So this is something that the smaller kids are very likely not able to do right away, but that is what will be more explicitly taught, because it's not something they're just going to see from day to day. It also allows people to increase the descriptiveness of their language, of their vocabulary. For example, where happy is more of a tier one word, words like elated or excited are going to be tier two words. You may not hear them all the time, but it's a higher level. It allows us to express ourselves a little bit more. It gives a stronger feeling than just happy, which can often be, you know, an overused word. Okay, then you have tier three words. They're actually pretty low frequency and they're very specific to content, meaning things like thesis. Thesis has a very specific definition and it's used in writing. It's very specific. And another word like osmosis. You're generally not just going to run across the word osmosis unless you're in a science class. So those type of words are just going to be taught as needed. You're getting into a unit on osmosis. You talk about what it is. You teach it very explicitly, very point by point. This is what it is. And then you move forward. Because those are not words that most people are going to come across in their daily lives. Now, on to the how do we work this out part. First of all, I'm going to talk a little more informally. So this is more of the parent part, and how to teach and increase the vocabulary of your kids. That tier one vocabulary, that's what teachers need you to work on. Because with that oral vocabulary, with your children having a great oral vocabulary, that is going to allow the teachers to have the space for that tier two vocabulary, which is that academic language. So some things you can do are just increase the oral vocabulary, not just how often you're talking to your kids, but use some of those more descriptive words. For example, if you ask your child about their day and they say they have a good day, you could say, you know what? I had a pretty good day. You know, I had an amazing day. Find more descriptive ways to use in conversation. Another way is you can do synonyms and antonyms, which obviously that oral vocabulary, the good to amazing, is kind of a synonym, but it's more of a shades of meaning thing where you could even, and that can even be a game that you play, where you look at synonyms and you kind of rank them. Is tiny smaller than small? Or would you, you know, where on the spectrum do you put these words? And that can be done orally. You could do, you know, that could be done with, with shapes, just depending on the age. If they can read, you can do it with the words. You can do it with flashcards, whatever. Any of those things would work. But it's just getting them to think about vocabulary in a way where it's increasing that tier one vocabulary and it's increasing those skills to be able to have words to attach to. When they get to school, the brain works in a way where it's kind of genius and a little bit lazy. Genius and lazy. If there's already a word there, if there's already something in your brain, then it's a lot easier to learn something new when it has something to stick to. So the more words you're giving your kids when they're younger, the easier it will be for those tier two vocabulary words to stick, because there's a lot of oral and tier one vocabulary that they already have in their brains for the new words to stick to. Okay, so that's the more informal part, just making sure you're speaking to your kids and trying to increase the quantity and the quality of words that you guys are both saying to one another. Now, as far as a more formal way to teach vocabulary, and this is going to be more of the tier two words, because again, they're not necessarily day to day. So I won't say this is specifically for the teachers, because parents, of course, you're more than welcome to come on down and bring it on. But this is a little more specific and a little bit more laid out. But you are going to, when you have a new word, there's kind of a step by step, and this will be in your show notes, where you can print this out or you can look at it and kind of go through it. But I won't call it a lesson plan, but it's kind of like a lesson plan. So first you're going to pronounce the word, have your child or your student pronounce it, do that several times, break it down into multiple different ways. Syllables, which we've talked about before, there's a whole, you know, when we talked about the phonological awareness, we talk a lot about syllables. Break it down into the morpheme, which is the basic unit of meaning. So the difference between morpheme and a phoneme, the phoneme is the smallest unit of sound, but the morpheme is the basic unit of meaning. Things like ing, that's the act of doing. The ing, that's the act of doing. It's not just one sound, but it is the act of doing. So together is the unit of meaning. So you can break the words down into those morphemes. You also need to spell the words and have your students spell the words. You're going to want to look at the part of speech. And in this situation, you'll have to look at the part of speech as far as the most common part of speech, especially if you're working with younger kids. If you're working with older kids, then you can start to get into how some words often have more than one part of speech depending on how they're used. For example, blush. Blush is a noun if it's something that you're buying. Blush is a verb if it's something that you're doing. So starting to let them know that. But that is obviously something you're going to not address with kindergartners. You're going to get more into that second grade-ish area where you start to allow them to see that part of speech. If you're working with the smaller kids, you would just give them the most common part of speech. And honestly, you're usually not doing words that have both. Then you're going to want to get into the etymology, which just where did the word come from? And it seems like one would think at first that that's really intense for small kids. And it could be, but it doesn't have to be. By giving the etymology, by giving the history of the word, you're helping students to understand where it comes from, which helps us to understand how to spell it, why each part is important. It relates to that morpheme part. So now we can tell there's, again, with the brain, there's more things to stick to because we've broken it down into syllables, the basic unit of meaning, the spelling, the part of speech, and where it came from. So there's a whole bunch of things in our brain now for this word to stick to, which is going to help us not only be able to say it or read it, which is what most of the focus was in the previous episodes, but now we're actually able to take it and own it. This vocabulary word becomes our own word. It's not just something I saw on paper and was able to regurgitate it. And then you want to create a student definition. And what I mean when I say this, and again, this will be in the show notes, is you want, here's a basic template. Blank word is a blank, and in that part you give the category or a part of speech that is or has blank attributes. So if we were using elephant, which is a tier one word, but we're going to do it, we'll use that one just for a remediation situation and also to make it easier for this definition. So elephant is a, and you could say it's a noun or you could say it's an animal, depending on where your kiddos are at. You know, if you're in kindergarten and they haven't really broken that down yet, you could say it's an animal, category or part of speech that is or has what attribute. So you could name an attribute of the elephant. You're giving, you could say that has elephant, three syllables. You could have something like that. Then, so now the students have a definition. I personally would like them to actually have this somewhere instead of just having a word and a definition, the dictionary definition. If you're going to have students write anything down or have anything specific to remember, having them write down this student definition, number one, it's helping because they're writing it down, but number two, they're processing it. They're not just regurgitating what was in the dictionary. They're actually looking at the definition and breaking down to something that makes sense to them. And all students don't have to have the same student definition, especially as they're getting more mature in their reading and they're more able to make their own connections. Then you can have the students practice examples of that word or example sentences, depending on the word. Sentences using the word, you could use the word correctly or incorrectly in a sentence, and the students could do thumbs up, thumbs down, or they could say yes or no, or whatever version you have of whether that word is being used correctly in that sentence. You could have the students create their own examples, and then you still could do that same type of game where we're doing yes and no, thumbs up, thumbs down, how could we make this sentence fit with this word, things like that. Even though vocabulary is often related to the idea of a list of things to memorize, in actuality, having a more rich vocabulary allows the things that we read to come to life. The more words that I have access to, the more words that I can use expressively or understand receptively, then the more vivid these pictures become from the books that I'm reading, the pictures in my mind, and the more reading goes from something that I have to do to something that I can do. So it is very important to make sure, parents of the little babies, this is your time to really tune in. Talk to your babies as much as you can. I know when mine were little, I didn't really use baby talk at all. Everyone has their thing, but the more words you can give them, the earlier. My oldest was making decisions about produce long before she could say anything to me, but that's because it was allowing her receptive vocabulary to grow. And then when she started talking, I thought maybe I should have said a couple less words, but in all actuality, I think it has significantly helped her ability to read because she loves to read now and she can see those pictures. She actually told me the other day she prefers that books don't have any pictures in them because they're never as good as what she has in her head. And that's what we want for our students, for our children. We want for ourselves. We want books to come alive. We want them to be a friend and something you can enjoy. So hopefully you have learned a little bit from this episode of What the Phonics on vocabulary. Be sure to head to my website so you can get some of these templates. And also coming soon, I've been encouraged by you guys listening to the podcast and sharing it, and I appreciate that so much, that I'm going to make some videos. They will not be of the podcast, but they will be some of these tips and some of these resources that I am going to be giving out on my website. I will be kind of showing how to use them or ways that you can use them at home or at school. So stay tuned for that. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to please leave a review. You doing that helps other people find this. Right now, I am just depending on the kindness of my friends and family, and I adore you. I know I'm starting to ramble, but I'm gonna end it, I promise. But thank you to all my friends and family that have been sharing it. Please, please, please subscribe or follow, depending on which podcasting you're listening to. But please make sure to rate it, because it will allow new people to see me and hear. Thank you so much to all of you who have followed the podcast or subscribed, depending on which platform you listen to this on. Please leave a review. It helps people who don't know me see me, because I know a lot of you listening right now know me, and I appreciate that. But we want to share and just spread this message out farther than that. So please make sure you leave those reviews on whatthephonics.com. You can contact me if there's anything you want to see. If you think I'm crazy and I sound insane, please let me know. What you say to me helps me get better. So please do that. Thank you so much for tuning in on this episode. Even though vocabulary is often related to the idea of a list of things to memorize, in actuality, having a more rich vocabulary allows the things that we read to come to life. The more words that I have access to, the more words that I can use expressively or understand receptively, then the more vivid these pictures become from the books that I'm reading, the pictures in my mind. And the more reading goes from something that I have to do to something that I can do. So it is very important to make sure, parents of the little babies, this is your time to really tune in. Talk to your babies as much as you can. I know when mine were little, I didn't really use baby talk at all. Everyone has their thing, but the more words you can give them, the earlier. My oldest was making decisions about produce long before she could say anything to me. But that's because it was allowing her receptive vocabulary to grow. And then when she started talking, I thought maybe I should have said a couple less words, but in all actuality, I think it has significantly helped her ability to read, because she loves to read now and she can see those pictures. She actually told me the other day she prefers that books don't have any pictures in them, because they're never as good as what she has in her head. And that's what we want for our students, for our children. We want for ourselves. We want books to come alive. We want them to be a friend and something you can enjoy. So hopefully you have learned a little bit from this episode of What the Phonics on vocabulary. Be sure to head to my website so you can get some of these templates. And also coming soon, I've been encouraged by you guys listening to the podcast and sharing it, and I appreciate that so much, that I'm going to make some videos. They will not be of the podcast, but they will be some of these tips and some of these resources that I am going to be giving out on my website. I will be kind of showing how to use them or ways that you can use them at home or at school. So stay tuned for that. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to please leave a review. You doing that helps other people find this. Right now, I am just depending on the kindness of my friends and family, and I adore you. I know I'm starting to ramble, but I'm gonna end it, I promise. But thank you to all my friends and family that have been sharing it. Please, please, please subscribe or follow, depending on which podcasting you're listening to. But please make sure to rate it, because it will allow new people to see me and hear. Thank you so much to all of you who have followed the podcast or subscribed, depending on which platform you listen to this on. Please leave a review. It helps people who don't know me see me, because I know a lot of you listening right now know me, and I appreciate that. But we want to share and just spread this message out farther than that. So please make sure you leave those reviews on whatthephonics.com. You can contact me if there's anything you want to see. If you think I'm crazy and I sound insane, please let me know. What you say to me helps me get better. So please do that. Thank you so much for tuning in on this episode.